I'm going to talk about an interesting topic today, and there's probably going to be questions. Feel free to ask questions. Feel free to comment. But I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions about who God is, who He is. We tend to know God from a distance at times. We know God through hearsay. We know God through other people's faith. But do we really know Him personally, one-on-one? And there are a lot of misconceptions that we have when we don't spend the adequate time building a relationship with who God is, building a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Without taking the proper time, we're in danger of forming some ideologies about who God is that are incorrect. And a lot of times we want to mold God into our image, and we forget that we were molded in His image, right? We want God to cater to us instead of serve Him. And so I want to talk a little bit about what some of these misconceptions are so that our minds are clear and we're focused on who God really is, so that we don't start to develop these ideas about God that might be wrong. And so let me give you an example about how misconceptions can change our ideas on things. So who here has Facebook? Anybody? Any hands? On Facebook, there's probably about 1% of the people on there that are so-called friends that I really know. The rest of them I know a little bit, right? I know something about them. I might have gone to high school with them 20-something years ago. And they're like, who are you? Well, recently, I saw a post on Facebook. This guy I know posted a picture of tacos. And so my instant thought was, this guy must like tacos. He's posting pictures of tacos, right? And because I don't know him that well, we're just acquaintances, my initial thought was, hey, this guy likes Mexican food. He loves tacos. You know, why else do you post a picture of tacos, right? And so that was my thought, is okay, well, all right, the dude likes tacos. After getting to know him a little bit better and just come out and ask him, hey, I guess you like tacos, what I come to find is that he really doesn't. This was a misconception based on half-truth, a piece of information, but not the whole puzzle solved. And so I made this thought and this idea in my head that this guy loves tacos. What I came to find out was that he was celebrating Cinco de Mayo, but he really hates tacos. Okay? Do you see how that misunderstanding took place there? I saw a little glimpse of something, and so I started to form my own ideas based on a half-truth. And we often do that with God. We get a little piece of information, we'll take something out of context in the Bible and form our ideas about who God is from that. And unless you really take the time to get to know Him, those ideas are probably going to be way off. You're going to have a half-truth, and you're going to form an idea in your mind. And that idea is going to shape and mold who you are over time, if you allow it to. Now, if I would have allowed that idea to sink in and wouldn't have gone and gotten the truth, I might have invited this guy to go eat tacos. Saying, hey, let's go eat tacos. You love tacos. Would have been pretty embarrassing, wouldn't it? Like, dude, I hate tacos. What are you doing? Apparently, some people don't, Jade. Well, I want to just take a few moments today to talk about some common misconceptions we have about God and how you as Christians, people that bear His name, need to understand some things about Him so that your ideas and your life are centered on truth and not on half-truth. So the first thing I want to talk about is kind of a ground setting for this. And it's, how does God reveal himself to us? Do you guys believe God reveals himself?
Yes.
Okay. So some of the ways that we've learned that God reveals himself, the first one is nature.
Yes.
Through nature, God reveals himself. The miracles that we see in nature, how plants grow, how things take place, how bumblebees fly. God reveals himself through those things. He reveals himself very clearly through his word, the Bible. It's another way in which God reveals himself. He revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ. That was a whole nother revelation of who God was to us through Jesus Christ. And he reveals himself to us by the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk a little bit about what we call natural revelation. And this is God revealing himself to us through natural ways, through nature. Somebody, if you would turn to Romans chapter 1 for a minute. I guess if you guys would turn to Romans chapter 1, you're already there? Romans chapter 1. And could I ask somebody to read verse 20 if you feel led to read? Okay.
Forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God.
Thank you. That's a pretty cool piece of text, isn't it? It's also a little bit condemning, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have no excuse. God has revealed himself. He's made himself known. We try to reject it. Some people do. Say, oh, there is no God. But you look at this, the nature, and you see God all over it. Science can't explain so many things because the only explanation is God, and science does not allow God in the equation. That's what science has ruled that out. If God's involved, it's no longer science. And so there's so many things they can't explain. And many scientists have come to know God through their scientific experiments that have pointed them back to a creator, right? So the second way in which God reveals himself is by his word, right? So in his word, he's revealed to us the creation, that he created everything. In his word, he revealed to us the fall of mankind, the sin in the Garden of Eden, and how that affected the rest of the human race. Through his word, he showed the chosen people, Israel, and his relationship with them. Through his word, he's revealed his purpose. Through his word, we can see God's character and attributes clearly. Through his word, we can understand God's redemptive plan. Even though there was a fall, God had a plan to redeem. And through his word, we can see God's relationship with humanity, that he actually has a relationship, he's involved in creation. We can see God's revelation through his son. In 1 John 1:18, I'll read this. It says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus didn't just come here to die on a cross for our sins. He came to reveal the true nature of God. And then God reveals himself through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says, these are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. So for those that have come to know God and accepted Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit indwelling inside of you, God reveals himself through the Holy Spirit. There are also times where the Holy Spirit works in an unbeliever's life to begin to prepare them true knowledge, truth that God has given us is revealed strongly in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture, everything, every word in that book is God-breathed. Now, it was written by humans, and yes, there were some grammatical errors in certain places, but it was all inspired, all spoken through the prophets by God and written in word. And there's no other book on the planet like it, written by so many different authors, and how all those different periods of time all point to the same thing, and how you can see how prophecy has been fulfilled throughout those eras. And it's just an amazing book. We call it inerrant, meaning there's no error in the context of the book. No other book can be said to be like that. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not human that he should lie. God cannot lie. It's against his character and nature of who he is. If God lied, he'd no longer be holy, would he? We would no longer worship a God that lied to us, would we? God is complete truth. He speaks truth. And if this is God-breathed, this word that you're holding in your lap right now, then we have to recognize it is God's complete truth and revelation to mankind. It's true. This is the absolute standard of truth that we need to base things upon. Remember the half-truths I talked about with my example of the picture of tacos? All right, you got to go to the source, guys, if you want to know the truth. You hear all these stories of fake news? I'm the first one that will ignore that until I go check out the source. If the source isn't credible, if there's not evidence, well, fake news.
I noticed that when I'm talking to, because my spirit is helping people who are in the New Age and trying to talk to them about Jesus, because the New Age movement has infiltrated like all walks of life, like it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's in your home decor. It's everywhere. You can find it in food, the way that food is packaged, and I mean, it's everywhere.
Sure.
And they're trying to make it where it's good. It's a good thing.
Of course.
And it helps you, and it helps your body, and it's wellness, and it's all of these things. And right. Just recently, the Pope of the Satanic Church called out to the New Age community and was like, you guys stole that from Satanism. So you're trying to prepackage it into this cute little thing, but it's satanic. And those people would know that if they really checked into what they were doing. Or like, when I talk to them, they say, oh, but God can't be loved because of this, or I don't believe it because of this. And I'm like, but the Bible doesn't even say that. Have right. you read the Word? Like, if you get into the Word, you'll really see God's true nature, and it's not what you're saying it is. So you've been misinformed.
And that's the problem, right? We get lazy. We want other people to tell us who God is, but we don't want to find out for ourselves. And that's why we're so in danger when we put pastors up on a pedestal and worship pastors.
Yeah.
Because I make mistakes. Pastors make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. His word is infallible. And so if you allow God to move in your heart by reading his word and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal wisdom to you, you begin to have a clear understanding of who God truly is. We've been misinformed in so many occasions. And yeah, we're bombarded in this world with New Age and false religions and false gods and all those things. And, you know, Paul said, it doesn't matter what you eat or drink as long as you do it to glorify God, right? And so even with all these pagan rituals, if you know Christ and you're glorifying Christ in all things, you're not partaking in that. Ooh, poor baby. The thing that's important about what I'm trying to get at here is everything needs to be weighed against Scripture. That is your source, okay? If you've ever taken any type of writing class or history class, they will teach you about first and second sources. And this is our first source when it comes to God. God never contradicts himself, never contradicts himself. So if you feel that you've been told something, or you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you and it contradicts that, you have to rule that out. You have to be very cautious about what you're hearing. God will never contradict himself through his word. I want to set that foundation so we can go into some of these misconceptions, because those things are important to understand how God reveals himself, all right? So I'm going to do a quick recap, see who's awake, who's paying attention. How does God reveal himself to us?
Nature.
Get it ready.
How else?
His word.
Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Amen. That's good. So the first misconception I want to talk about, and this is important for you as a Christian and being able to witness to other people, is that God had a beginning. Somebody had to have created God. Who all's heard that before, that God had to have a beginning somewhere?
I've heard it in like when you're talking to somebody that's in a defense. Yes.
Right. Well, who created God? Huh? Tell me that. You ever heard that debate? He is infinite. The Word of God tells us that he's always existed. He's always existed. Well, how? God is eternal. He's infinite, as Laura said. No beginning, no end. He's eternal. Now, scientists have tried to prove for a long time that God didn't create the world or the universe, that it was created by a spark in the, you know, some particle somehow collided with other particles, and we had this big bang, and then the sun just appeared, and the moon just appeared, and the earth appeared, and it was in just such a perfect rotation accidentally that it could support life. That's what scientists have tried to prove for a long time.
They can't.
New science has proven there's a new physics study, and I want to say it's thermophysics, have proven some things about our universe that couldn't be proven before. So through that is what we call the cosmological argument. Cosmological. And it's the argument about how the universe formed. And through that, the latest argument on this is called the Kalam cosmological argument. And it was authored by a scientist named William Lane Craig, who's also an apologetist. He defends the gospel against science. And what he has shown is that whatever began to exist had to have a cause. So unless there was a cause, the universe couldn't just appear. And it's also been shown that the universe began to exist. It wasn't always there. The universe was not always there. And therefore, the universe has a cause. Something caused it to start, okay? So what that concludes is something greater than the universe must have been present in order for the universe to begin. It had to have an intelligent thing with a cause for the universe. And this is now a standard belief in science. They won't point to God the Father as the cause. Of course, Lane will, but most scientists won't. But the only thing that makes any sense at all for the universe is to have an omnipotent, eternal creator that started the universe. And so God didn't have a beginning, by the way. He is absolute self-sufficiency. He is independent of the universe. He's independent of time. He's independent of material things. And it's mind-blowing to think about that. But what other kind of God would you want to serve? Imagine a God powerful enough to always exist, be all-knowing, all-powerful, be able to speak, and the universe is created. Something that began to exist cannot exist indefinitely, by the way. There has to be an end to it. Science has proven this. Thermophysics has shown that eventually the universe will die out. Did you know that? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Moses was pretty smart. I wonder if he studied thermophysics at the time he was writing this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in Isaiah 40:28 says, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. See, God has always existed. If God was created, he would no longer be God. God has created everything in our universe, the things that we can see and the things that we can't see, all created. Now, there's another theory called the heat-death theory. And this hypothesis infers that if the universe lasts for a sufficient time, it will asymptotically approach a state where all energy is evenly distributed. What that means, the energy dies out eventually in the universe. And so you have heat that grows cold over time, and when it grows cold, it no longer has the ability to sustain life. So you take a match and you light it, and you blow it out, and it begins to cool off. And the match can no longer light anything, right? Well, it's the same with the universe. Eventually, all this movement in the earth starts to slow down, and it already is, according to scientists. And the heat created by the movement starts to die off and cool down, and life can no longer be sustained. And so the universe eventually has an end. And so something had to create it because it had a beginning and it has an end. And the Bible tells us that. That one day all the heavens and the earth will be wiped out and a new heaven and a new earth will be created. That can only be done by an everlasting, omnipotent God. God has no beginning and no end. In Revelation 1:8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That describes a God that has always been and always will be. That's the God we serve. That's a powerful God. So God was not created. That's the point I want to make here. God was not created. He has always existed. Any questions on that particular point? Okay, let me move on to the next one. So the other misconception people have is that, well, God doesn't know each person individually. He doesn't care about us as individuals. That's another misconception we have, that God is too busy. Or God set the universe in motion and then he just sat back and let nature take its course. How many of you have heard that? Huh?
Deism.
Yep. How many people have heard that point made or that misconception that God just created the universe and stood back? There's two things about God we need to understand. First, he's transcendent. And what that means is he's far above creation and independent of it. The other thing we need to know about God is he's immanent. He remains in creation. He remains in creation. He's not an abstract God who is not involved with his creation. In Job 12:10, it says, in his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. He didn't just create it and step away. He's involved in this process. God cares about each person individually. There are so many things that God has revealed in his word about how much he loves and cares It was revealed most clearly through his son, Jesus Christ, how he came and touched lepers. He healed the sick, made the blind see, cast out demons, and said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do," while he's being nailed to a cross. God cares very much about each individual. In fact, we were unique in all of his creation. Genesis says we are the only thing made in his image, in his likeness. We're the only thing that God didn't speak. He used his hands to form us. He picked up the dust of the ground and formed mankind and blew the breath of life into it. He didn't do that with anything else in this universe that he's revealed to us. So when people struggle with that, and by the way, this is the only religion where God is personally involved in a relationship with each person. It's the only religion. And yet there's people that will choose other religions and even atheism because they say God doesn't care. If God cared, why would he allow all this destruction and this evil to take place? Well, my friends, that's the cost of free will. God doesn't impose his will upon us. He gives us a choice to make in our life. And it's also the product of sin. The death, the decay, all of those things are product of sin. The original sin in the garden is when all this went off track with the human race. Immediately. What other religion do you see where the first people created, Adam and Eve, are in the garden, God says, don't do this, they do it, they sin against him. And yes, there were consequences, but God took the fur of an animal and clothed them at the same time. God's justice and mercy were demonstrated in that one act. Even though they sinned against him and rebelled against him, out of his love for his creation, he demonstrated that by covering them. Another misconception I want to talk about is God overlooks our sin with love. Something I hear Christians talk about often is, I can continue to live a certain lifestyle or do certain things, and God's just going to overlook it because of the cross. It's quite clear in God's word that he hates sin, folks. He hates sin. Isaiah 59:2. Somebody want to turn to Isaiah? Read 59:2. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Takers? Go ahead, Randy.
It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore.
That's fine. Because of your sin, separated from God. God is a holy God. That's never changed. He's a holy God. He says, be holy because I am holy. That's what his word says. God has not changed. The Word tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sin is an ugly thing in the eyes of a holy God. And yet it's something that we have to deal with on a daily basis, right? I would love to say I went 1 week without sinning against God. 1 week. And yet I fail every time. There's something in my heart, there's something in my mind, there's something I do that is unrighteous in the eyes of a holy God. And I know that he hates it. I know that he hates sin. He doesn't hate me, by the way. He doesn't hate you. He hates sin. It is not a reflection of who He is. And yet we take that too lightly sometimes, I think. We take it lightly. Psalm 5:4 says, "For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome." That's a pretty tough deal, isn't it? Now, let me tell you this. I'm not here to bring you down or condemn you today. I'm here to build you up and encourage you. But this is a misconception, guys. That it's okay to continue living in sin. God says, be holy because I am holy. Well, what does that mean? We can read His word and be convicted. A lot of times we don't read His word because we end up feeling convicted, right? Conviction's not a bad thing. Condemnation's a bad thing. Conviction's not a bad thing. The Holy Spirit will convict us through His word. Jump into Ephesians or Corinthians sometime. There's a whole list of sins in there that are called out. Say, am I that one? No, I'm good. Whoa, that one, I failed. It's pretty clear that in our heart there's evil thoughts that come out of it. Jesus said, if you even hate your brother in your heart, you've committed murder. If you've lusted after somebody in your mind, you've committed murder or you committed adultery. And He's showing us what true holiness is. Now, God, with His infinite wisdom and His infinite love, found a way to justify, or not justify, but forgive us for the sins we've committed against Him. But He didn't say, because I did that, now continue sinning.
Yeah, I think that's a big misconception. I think among younger Christians, well, I guess a lot of Christians, I've heard them say that Jesus saved them so they don't have to worry about it.
Right.
I mean, you do have to worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of the jokes about a Catholic going into confession. I'm going to confession tomorrow so we can party tonight. No big deal. Right? We should really contemplate that. If you're not in your word to really get to know who God is, if you're not understanding your purpose and what He's called you to be, you're missing out on a deeper relationship with this all-powerful, all-knowing, incredible God that we serve. He spoke the universe into creation. You ever try to speak anything into creation? There's an apple up here. It doesn't happen, right? It's a pretty powerful God. That's the God we serve. That's the God that we are privileged to be called children of. It's a privilege. He didn't have to do any of this. He didn't have to save Noah in the flood. One time He was sorry He created us because we sinned so badly against Him that He wiped everything out but Noah and his family. Spared the animals. I guess they were harder to make than people. I don't know. Spared the animals. Israel, over and over again, rebelled against God. God said, if you would just turn back to me, turn from your wicked ways and worship me, I will bless you immensely. I will bless you. That hasn't changed. Are you not feeling blessed in your life? Maybe a reason. Maybe we're not pursuing God as much as we should be. We really pursue Him and seek Him with all of our heart, and turn from the wicked things that we've grown accustomed to. Blessings will flow, my friends. I can sit here and tell you that. I heard a story this morning about how somebody was pouring money into a ministry, and yet they never had financial problems during that time. I've been there too. It's pretty amazing how God does that. When you live selflessly for God, and you pour everything you have into what He's called you to do, everything in life seems to just be there. It's like God just continuously provides. And I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel here at all. We don't do these things to get rewarded materially. But oftentimes God, out of His great, great love and mercy, provides for us during those times in immense ways. I remember a time, guys, and I don't want to boast about this. It's not about me. It's about what God does. There was a time where I was completely broke, and it was around Christmas time, and I happened to have $20 in my pocket. That was it. And I went to a gas station, and this man comes out and says, "Hey, I need help." I said, "Okay, what's up?" He says, my vehicle's broken down. It's down the road. I need $20 to get this part to fix it." I was like, "Really, God?" I gave him the $20. It was the last $20 I had. And I felt something just come over me. It's almost like God sent an angel to test me. Because I was going through a problem in my life before that where I was worshiping the dollar bill instead of the Creator. And I got on my knees and I said, "God, this is all yours. I don't want it. Take it. Whatever you provide, I'm going to use to glorify you." And when I continuously demonstrated that, people would come to me and I'd give them what I had. All of a sudden, God would provide, money would show up. And it was just God saying, "Trust me with everything. Trust me." It's so hard for us to give up things because we don't trust God. We don't trust that His blessing is greater than whatever we're holding on to. And we're willing to just let it go. Offer it to Him. Say, "This is yours. Tell me what to do with it, but it's yours." You'd be amazed at what God will do in your life and the blessings that come through that. There's a spiritual blessing that takes place. Yes, God hates sin. The cross wasn't an excuse for us to continue living as we used to, as pagans, as Paul would put it. He gave us a new life, a new hope, a new foundation that we were to put our trust in. And let me tell you, it's a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Satan wants you to fall. Satan wants you to continue in a lifestyle that's unpleasing to God. He wants to tarnish that image as much as he can. But you know, the power to say, "No, Satan, not today. I'm not letting you have it today. I worship the one true God that created you, in fact. And He's given me authority over you." Be willing to have people in your life you can confess these things to. People that can help you walk that out. Because there are certain things in our life that are struggles. I know that. But He gave us free will, and you have to make a choice. We all fall down. Question is, who's there to pick you up? You letting Satan pick you up, or you letting God pick you up? That's the difference. God says, "If you confess, I'll forgive you." So when we come clean with God, we recognize our faults and we present them to His throne. He is quick to forgive, full of mercy and grace. But let that sink in for a minute, that He does not like sin. Anybody here know what insanity is?
Is it doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results?
You got it. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you're in that pattern, in that cycle, maybe today's the day to look at different ways to deal with things. There are cycles that we get into and we just can't seem to get out, right? It's like a never-ending circle. It's like a hamster on a wheel. Runs, 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 goes nowhere. Megan's hamster would wear that wheel out, wouldn't it? Jeez. The hamster got so big the wheel squeaked. It was horrible. It was funny.
It was funny.
Especially when he got stuck in the tube because he was eating too much of that hamster food.
Which makes no sense from all the exercise. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, nope. I'm sorry.
I want to ask you guys, do you really want to change? You don't have to answer me. I know you're all like, oh. Ask yourself, do I want to change? Are there areas in my life that I want to change? And if the answer is yes, today's the day you can start to make that change. You know what God's called you to do. You know where there's conviction in your heart. We all do. Let's face it. When I feel convicted, I have a hard time praying. Anybody else in that boat? Oh, man, I screwed up. I'm not going to your God today. Been there? Guess what? Even though God hates sin, He still loves you. And He's called you in a relationship with Him. He's called you to present all of your requests to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I'm struggling with this. Show me how to get out of this.
That's what I'm scared of praying. Because I know He's going to do it. That's what scares me. But sometimes I want to stay in what I'm doing. I don't want to stop.
And that's the problem. We're being robbed of what God's true blessing is by doing that. Holding on, right?
Makes me crazy. Me too.
Find a Christian brother or sister. If you're a guy, find a brother. If you're a girl, find a sister. That will help you, that will pray for you, that will cover you in prayer. That you can call and say, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? If it's a habitual thing, Celebrate Recovery is an awesome program for those types of things. When I say habitual, it doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. It can be anything. Whatever it is.
They have like everything.
Yeah. It's the same program. It's teaching you how to turn that over to God and walk with God and be in community with others. There's power in numbers. Find that person. I encourage you. I'll be that person if you guys need somebody. I'm not here to condemn or judge you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you walk out your Christian life the way God intended. So I'm going to close here, guys. Think about that. Remember that God does not desire us to continue living a lifestyle that we did before we met Him. He wants us to know Him through His Word. He's an everlasting God that was not created, but created. And He's an all-powerful God that we serve. And He wants to know each of you personally. He does know each of you personally. He wants you to know Him. Let me pray.